Turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3 we'll be reading this evening, continuing there from last week where we ended at Genesis 3:6. We'll continue in Genesis 3:7, and we'll read just five verses this evening, verses 7 through 11. Judges 3, starting in verse 7. This is the word of God. The sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served the Baals and the Asheroth. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the sons of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. When the sons of Israel cried to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the sons of Israel to deliver them. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. When he went out to war, the Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, so that he prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. The land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Now that is the word of our God. And before us is the first judge revealed to the reader, appearing with very little detail, almost as if this is another kind of introduction to get the reader's feet wet in what is happening in Judges. We see the same process here, described probably more at length in the previous chapter, chapter 2, verses 11 through 23, what we saw last week. And Israel is, again, unfaithful to the Lord. It says they forgot the Lord and served and worshipped the Baals and the Asheroth, which is an idol of female deity. What happened because of this? The Lord's wrath comes. His anger burns against Israel. It says in verse 8 that the Lord sold Israel into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim. He gives them into the hands of a foreign king. Oftentimes we look at history, we like to see cause and effect in every situation. Israel's sin doesn't cause Cushan-Rishathaim to come in and take Israel as his servants. Israel's it doesn't happen that way. Rather, it's God who in his wrath towards Israel sells them. It says he sold them to this foreign king. He gives them, Israel, over to this foreign ruler. It's God who makes and orders history, not always according to our cause and effect. Yet even in the midst of the Lord's wrath towards Israel, we actually see his mercy, that there is hope for Israel. The Lord is not going to sit back and let Israel just continue worshiping the Baals. In his jealousy to be worshipped himself, he refuses to do nothing and to let his people go. He refuses to allow the people to remain comfortable in their sins. And so he puts them to serve a foreign king, a king in Mesopotamia. And so Israel's forced to, in some sense, come back from their sinning as it has to do with their worship, and they have to now spend most of their time serving a foreign king and doing what he says to do. The Lord will not allow his people to remain in sins, or at least be comfortable in their sins. And here's probably the only set hope set before Israel, yet they're probably unaware of it. It seems that they are not aware of it. So Israel's sin brings the Lord's wrath. Because Israel is brought to serve a foreign king, Israel cries out to the Lord, verse 9. They're clearly in distress. The Lord sends a Savior to save them from their troubles. The Lord raised up a deliverer to deliver them, a judge. His name was Othniel, Caleb's younger brother. And yet the wording of crying out here does not necessarily communicate repentance. It shows that they're in distress, and so they cry out to the only person that they've ever cried out to, the Lord. If anything, the Lord here is not reacting to Israel's cry. He's responding to their misery and pain rather than their sorrow or repentance. And this is God's grace shown to Israel. Once again, he responds to them, to their misery and their pain. And he gives them Othniel to save them, that they might see his mercy, that they might see his grace, and that he sends someone to deliver them. Verse 10, we see the power of God. The Holy Spirit comes upon Othniel. He judged Israel. The Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim into Othniel's hand before the Lord through his Spirit. The Lord empowered Othniel to deliver them. The Lord is the one who raised up this Savior. There can be no denying the fact that salvation is and comes from the Lord. Here we see the instruments that God uses for evil. Instruments that God uses to bring harm or judgment, discipline, punishment to his people. That he is also the one who removes them at the right time. And he does so through Othniel. Verse 11 then concludes this section with this judge showing that Israel had rest from their enemies for 40 years. Well, they were under, in some sense, captivity. They were under slaves to this king for 8 years. And then after the Lord, through Othniel, judges Israel, delivers them from this enemy and foreign king, he gives them 40 years. 40 years to think upon his goodness to them and his mercy to them and how he saved them from Othniel. Where at one time, we just learned the last section, chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, that first generation forgot the Lord and they forgot the works of the Lord. Well, here they see the works of the Lord. He puts it right before them. So he gives them 40 years to dwell upon that. Here's the opportunity for Israel. They can't mess around. These actions are God's mercy, God's grace. And this mercy and this grace from God is not always going to be towards them if they continue to rebel. And so here we learn, again, our need to turn from our sins. To see when God brings destruction, when God brings judgments, when God brings discipline to us, we are to look upon our sin and turn from that sin and turn to Him. In repentance, in true repentance, according to the Word of God. When He uses people and other things in our lives to point out our sin and to point out His own mercy and grace, we are to turn to Him, turn from our sin. The question is, did Israel do that? The answer we know already is no. We're going to see next week, Lord willing, that they did evil in the sight of the Lord again. But let that not be us. We are to hear the Word of God and see these things, see these judgments, see these disciplines, see the trials in our lives, and look upon ourselves, look upon our sin, and look to the Lord and see what He says according to those things that we're doing, what we're thinking, what we're saying. Turn from our sins. And so let's take every opportunity to live for Him and not live against Him. Live for the Lord and not against Him. See our sin and turn back to that gracious God who saves us from all of our sin. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank You for Your great mercy and Your grace. Oftentimes, we probably ignore it, and we probably don't even recognize it. All the infinite ways that You show Your grace and Your mercy to us. Oftentimes You show it through judgment. You show it through various disciplines. You show it through natural disasters like hurricanes, tornadoes, floods. Just to remind people of Your power. That Your power will come in a great way to judge all mankind. Those past, present, and future. And that now is the time to repent. And now is the time to turn from our sins and turn to You Even as Israel was considered God's people, many here, at least in the book of Judges, they continued to rebel against you. They were not, as we looked this morning, the seed of the woman. They were the seed of Satan. Let that not be us. Father, we desire better things, greater things for our lives, hope. We hope that, and we pray that you would save us from our sins. You would cause that the rebellion in our hearts, even that little pocket closed to the closet in the back of our heart, which we like to not think about. We pray that you would open it with your word, and you would rebuke us and correct us, teach us your word, and train us to live righteous lives, so that we might be equipped, made adequate for every good work. That we would live for you and glorify you and worship your name. Cause us to turn from our sin. Cause us to see the idolatries in our lives. Where we put ourselves before you. Where we put things before you. Where we continually trust in our own wisdom and our own knowledge to live. Whereas we should be trusting in your wisdom and your knowledge and your word to show us how we ought to live. We pray that you would turn us from sins of pride. We think that we know everything. We think that we are better than all, including yourself, including how you've laid out in your word how we ought to live. That we have a better, that we think often in our pride, that we think we have a better way that we can live. That somehow pleasure, and somehow pleasure with this world is much greater and much better than being in the presence of the Lord forever. And worshiping with the body of Christ. Father, forgive us of our sin. Cause us and spur us on to turn from that sin and turn to righteousness. With grief and hatred of our sin. Father, we pray that you would cause us in all things that very purpose, that chief end of which you've made us for, to glorify you and enjoy you forever. Not glorify ourselves, not glorify anyone else, and not enjoy ourselves or anyone else or any other thing more than you. We desire to glorify you and enjoy you forever. And not just when we get to heaven or when we get to be with you, but even right now, make it true of us that we would be living for the very purpose of which our chief end requires. Father, be with us as we worship you. Let this not be a worship which is just external, but that we would be worshiping in spirit and in truth. And that our worship would be glorifying to you and honoring to you. That you'd be uplifted. Lord, may you have the first place, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.